Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla, and I'm here with my co-host,
Noah.
Amazing.
And we're back to talk about everyone's favorite award show, the Oscars.
The movie lovers Super Bowl.
I love how the Super Bowl is like always the big event comparison. Like, it can be anything. It could be like someone could be really into ballet and there's like this big ballet thing. Like, well, this is my Super Bowl. Like, why is the Super Bowl the thing? Like, why not the World Series? I mean, I guess because the World
American
Series is seven games.
Football, I don't
but
know.
Maybe like the seventh game. Or like the World Cup.
Or the
like
Olympics,
the World Cup championship.
March Madness.
Yeah, this is my
this
Olympics.
This is my NBA Finals.
I'm just going to start saying this is my Oscars.
The Oscars
now. Like,
are your Oscars. Be like the Super Bowl.
Or
yeah, but if you like the Oscars the best, it doesn't make sense.
No.
For other things to be your Oscars.
No, it'd be like if someone was telling me like, oh man, I'm just really excited to go to the swim meet. And I'm like, oh yeah, so it's like your Oscars.
Okay.
Like that's what I'll do, you know? I'll use it.
Sure.
And it will catch on. This year, I don't know if maybe this year is going to do a lot for me getting people to think the Oscars are really cool, but we'll get into that, I guess. Before we do, we got some answers to our question of the week last week. So we should probably go over those first. What was our question of the week last week? We were doing Turning Red.
Yes.
Was the
and
last
we
week's
asked,
episode, our review
what
of Turning
fandom
Red.
Were you into when you were 13? And I have to say, I said mine in the last episode, but after I thought about it, I was like, wait, that was when Marvel started? And I was very much into the OG Marvel stuff. So I think, like, I had multiple Marvel posters, Spider-Man, Captain America, a general superhero poster. So I think that was technically my... But everything else that I said in any other fandom that pretty much existed at that time, I was also in, so...
Really into the Warriors franchise? The one with the cats? Remember that one?
I was. That was maybe a little bit younger than 13, like maybe 11 and 12. Probably 13, too. I was very... it's one of those things. I was a Warriors cats kid.
You know, it's like that sound on the sound on TikTok where it's like you look like a Sprinkles guy. That's one of those things. Like you look like a Warriors
fan.
Yeah,
I did like online role playing Warriors cats.
Oh wow!
In a Neopets guild, which is very niche. And then when we would hang out, we would like also. like play pretend like we were cats. I don't know. It was very weird.
We're unpacking a lot of things today, but
yeah, I should probably
I think
talk
we should
to my
get
therapist
into
about that.
Other people's trauma and see what they were into when they were 13.
Perfect.
So we have Dan here, and he said Prison Break, a show that peaked in its first season and quickly became terrible. Which is the worst when shows do that.
That's actually one
really
I haven't seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I'm
I know a
familiar,
lot of, I mean,
but...
a lot of people like, I think it's, again, one of those, like, people like the beginning, and then you get into it, and then you just gotta finish
out.
It. But you're like, I gotta get to the end.
That's
and then
how
the
I
end
was.
Still disappointing.
This year, I watched Modern Family in the first 3 months of this year. And once I hit, like, season 7, there's 11 seasons, I was like, I think I'm kind of, like, bored of this, but. I had to
you're
watch
so
the rest of it. I was like,
you're more than
I've already
halfway.
Watched 7 seasons. I have to watch the next 4. But I just finished
I know.
It. So.
I know that. We also have Mike, and he said Gravity Falls, which is a show I know a lot of people like that I also haven't seen. I'm just not like a big cartoon guy. Like, that's just not my thing. I know a lot of people like it, and a lot of people I know like it. This is never really my thing. What other questions did we have? Answers did we have? I think we got some on Spotify, right?
We did. Waffle said, I don't remember anymore, but I got into Doctor Who when I was 14. Does that count? It does.
I think it counts. It does.
Definitely.
Yeah. 14 is the new 13. That's what they say.
Yes, I was also into Doctor Who.
I have never seen a single Doctor Who episode.
Not a single one. I don't think you would like it. Have you at least seen that Van Gogh clip that goes around, like, it goes re-viral every time it gets, like, on Twitter?
No.
Next time I see it, I'll send it to you.
I have read a Doctor Who, like, fan fiction, because I had to read one for class, but I didn't know what was going on.
You had to read fan fiction for class?
Yeah, we have to write fan fiction.
Oh
for
my
class.
God, that is my dream. Did you get to pick the fan fiction, or they made you pick? Or they made you? Read
no, we can pick
one.
Whatever we're writing about.
No, I mean
I
like with, like reading one.
No, they gave us ones to read. Yeah,
I mean, but it was you're not like reading
I really had
stuff.
I had no idea what was going on in
sure.
in it because I'd never seen an episode. I just know that there was like a telephone booth. Superman style.
Yeah, what which doctor is it?
I literally don't remember.
You don't remember the number?
It was the guy.
Was it 9, 10, 11, or 12? Okay, there's multiple. That's why I was asking which number it was. Was it 10?
I literally don't know. Okay.
Nine was the first one.
Any number.
Okay, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay. And Joe also, I remember, answered, right?
Yes.
Spotify regular.
Let me read what Joe says. I have it right here. The Legend series, the Cinder series, everything dystopian, also Harry Potter, but as Noah said, yikes.
Is that the Legends of, like, the Owl series? Is that? That's
no, that's the Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
Well, isn't there? Oh, I thought it was the Legends of Ga'Hoole. Dang it. Okay.
No, Legend I don't know is what the Legend a book series. It's a book series. The first one is called Legend. Okay. There's
and,
two
am
other
Am I the
ones.
Title character? Am I the main character of that series?
Because you're a legend.
That was a bad joke. Yes. That was the implied joke.
And then the Cinder series, I think that's one another really popular one that I never read. I think was like a Cinderella retelling.
Oh, I was confused. I was like, is this a Cinder Block fan group? Is this?
Oh my gosh!
About
it's
just
like a young
like...
adult. I was very into dystopian books as well, though, Divergent.
I think everyone was, like, that's our age, was like, that was the thing. Like, there was nothing better than if your story is dystopian. That was, like, the golden standard for any story at that time. We also had a late edition that I saw later this night, which was from Alden, and they said they were into Five Nights at Freddy's when they were 13, which... I played it. I played the first game when I was 13. I don't think I played any of the other
that
ones.
That is still a thing. I see kids these days being into Five Nights at Freddy's. So
you know, I made a theme song, a Five Nights at Freddy's theme song for one of my friends because they were doing a YouTube series about it. And
no way.
It's on Spotify. And it's the thing that has the most streams by me that's on Spotify. It's not a good theme song. Please don't look it up. But I did make a theme song.
Interesting. Is it under your old artist name?
Yes. Yeah.
So I can look it up. I'll look it up.
It's bad. It's very bad.
That's so funny.
But yeah, thank you to everyone who responded. And at the end of this episode, we'll have another question for you all to answer.
The fandoms that made us. That should be a podcast. The fandoms that made us.
The fandoms that made us.
And then you go through different fandoms, like part one and part two, and you interview someone who is in that fandom, and then you talk about the fandom in a different one. Wow. New
That'd
podcast idea. It's mine. No one else can have it. It's mine. My idea.
Trademarked now. Okay, but let's jump into talking about the Oscars this year. What is this? The 90... I actually don't know which
third?
One it is.
92nd.
The 92nd Oscars. The 2022 Oscar nominees.
Nope. It's the 94th.
No,
it's the 94th.
We're just thinking of the 92nd because that was the best year.
Yeah, my brain is still stuck there, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to live in that moment still.
Pre-pandemic, Parasite win.
Yeah, but so we got the nominations early last month. We never really talked about any of this, so this might feel old, but like this is the first time we're talking about any of this on the podcast. So nomination-wise, I watched the announcement. First of all, they have got to get a new system for the announcements. They've got to pre-record it, work on their jokes. They got to work on a lot of things. But the nomination, like that was one of the most painful things I've ever seen, was the nominations announcement. But I was actually, there was a lot of surprises in these nominations, like not maybe any huge surprises, but if you are like paying attention to some of the categories throughout the year, I think there was some surprises, like Nightmare Alley getting a Best Picture nomination, even Drive My Car getting in there. The Best Actress category was just like wild. So I was not as mad at these nominations as I am at some years, you know?
Sure.
I think there was some obvious things that they got wrong, but there's a lot of things in here that I know won't win, but I'm just glad that it got nominated, if that makes sense.
Well, I think the biggest one people talked about was, I mean, this is a snub. I don't know if we're talking about snubs later.
We can.
Denis Villeneuve not being nominated.
Yeah.
For director. I think that was like the biggest snub, I would say, personally.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, even in like leading actress, like I was saying, there was a lot of people, I wasn't one that wanted Lady Gaga nominated, but I think like definitely over like Nicole Kidman or just even Jessica Chastain, like people were predicting Lady Gaga over both of them, I would think. And so there's just a lot of weird standouts in this category,
yeah,
too, where it's like, that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's so, I don't know, the Oscars surprise me every year. Like, there's always things that I think should be there that aren't, and then it's weird to me that this is, like, the all-hailed movie awards, because it's, like, worthy, like, what actually qualifies some of these people to be nominated? Like, because they aren't the best of the year. So it's like, why are these the top five that are getting in? I don't know. Got a lot of questions.
It's hard. It's like the intersection between popularity and like art house. So they don't nominate things that are super indie, but they don't nominate things that are super popular. It's a really weird intersection. So it's like a lot of times, most years they'll upset some amount of people that are wanting really popular stuff and also people that are wanting really unknown stuff. So they try to like find that middle ground. And that's why I think does make it interesting though, because if they only cater to one of those groups, I don't think it would be as interesting as a show, because it's just, it's the snubs and the weird, like a yak in a classroom, whatever, getting nominated for international film. That's just like, This is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is nominated, but I think it's what makes it interesting sometimes. Maybe my favorite nomination overall was how Flea got three nominations,
yeah,
right? The international, animated, and
documentary.
What was the other one? Documentary, right. Which is so cool because like it does fit in all those categories.
Yeah, and that's never happened before. So, and we right. both loved Flea, so.
We did. It was great. It was a great movie. I hope it wins at least one. I don't know if it will, but it would be great if it got at least one of them.
Yeah, it's hard because I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But I wish that it would.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this show? I mean, we already kind of talked about like it, but overall vibes, I guess.
I am not feeling it. This is probably the first year that I just have not really cared that much. Like, am I going to go buy my regular candy for the show? Yes. Am I going to make brownies like I usually do? Yes. Am I going to stay up all night watching this? Also, yes. But I'm not excited about it. And the more and more that comes out about how this show is going to be,
yeah,
the less excited I get. I think at this point in the year, just having it so late still is not great. I just am exhausted from awards season from January through now. It's like, I don't know. I just am so over it at this point. I'm ready for new movies. I'm ready to be done having the discourse about the same movies that we've been having for 5 or 6 months at this point on Twitter and stuff. Like, I'm over it. Can we move on, please?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad because I actually like I was saying, I like these nominations a lot better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mixture of like, it is like the fatigue of the how late it is in the year, if it has late as it does feel. And also, like you said, the changes and the things that have been coming out over the last couple months that have, like, each piece of news makes it less exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over some of the things about the show that is happening this year. So the title, or not the title, the theme of the ceremony is Movie Lovers Unite.
Huh.
Which, you know, is, like, very basic. I feel like that could be the theme of
Do
all
they have,
of them.
Like, a reason? Like, did they say,
well,
like, why that
they
is a
did
theme?
There is one thing that I put in here that, like, connects to it. Let me see. Oh, yeah. So I'll just do this one first. So to tie in with the theme, that's why they teamed up with Twitter to host an Oscar fan favorite contest where Twitter users can vote for their favorite film of the year and their favorite movie moment. And so then the two with the most votes in each category will then be recognized at the telecast. And so that's part of, like, their tie-in.
Wait, I'm sorry. What? I don't understand how that connects to Movie Lovers
No,
Unite.
I know. I don't know. I guess it's, like, a celebration of movies, you know? But that's what the Oscars already is.
Okay.
So it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I think they were really just trying to get people excited. That's what it seems like their thing this year.
Sure.
Is they're trying to get people excited about the ceremony, but they keep doing the wrong thing. So first, just a couple, like, different things about the ceremony. It's the first one that is required to fill all 10 slots.
Great idea. I think that's one of the best changes they made.
Yeah, it's so good. Because 2008, I think, after The Dark Knight, they changed it from 5 to you can have 5 up to 10. But now this is the first year where they're saying you need 10, which is like,
yeah,
why not have 10 every year? There's always going to be at least 10 movies.
I don't remember what it was last year, but there was one.
I think it was 8 or 9.
Yeah, it was
8.
But I remember us being like shocked that they didn't just give, I don't even remember what the movies were.
Well, like Knives Out obviously was on the edge because it got in a screenplay. Usually it's like the screenplay or director you can see, or at least you could have seen, like the ones that almost made it in. So I'm glad that's like, why not just celebrate more movies? Movie lovers unite. Come on. The direct-to-digital film inclusion is still intact for this year. I don't know if they're going to get rid of that for next year. They might, but for this year anyway, they kept it. This was kind of interesting. The minimum amount of original music that you need to get a Best Original Score nomination was reduced from 60% to 35%, which is a pretty drastic decrease in percentage, which I don't know, like, why that is. I don't know if there was, like, movies coming up on the horizon that they're like, we want to recognize these, but we won't be able to with the rule changes. I don't know why they
Star Wars. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. We are going to get some tributes to James Bond because of the 60th anniversary, as well as the 50th anniversary of Godfather winning the Best Picture.
Cute. That will be
so
fun.
So that'll be some fun times.
I read that they're all going to be there, everyone from the Godfather cast.
Oh, wow. That is going to be fun. Like, I like when they do stuff like that, like, because I think Samuel Jackson is one person getting, like, a honorary Oscar and stuff. So I like when they kind of
do stuff like that. Celebrate movies. Yeah, I like that too.
Mm. Yeah, speaking of celebrating movies, they did, this is the biggest thing that's happened, is that they announced that there's going to be 8 categories that are not televised.
Well, they're not televised live. So
live, right. So there might be like clips afterwards, maybe?
No. They're playing the clips still, but they're pre-recording them before the ceremony. So they're doing all these clips before the live broadcast, but then they're cutting together those clips to play like highlights during the broadcast.
Oh, a highlight reel, right. Okay, so, but then, yeah, so film editing, makeup, score, production design, and sound, along with the 3 short film categories. This is said they did this to allow for more time for comedy, film clips, and musical numbers. The 3 things that everyone just comes to the Oscars for. Every year at the Oscars, I hear, oh man, I wish there was more musical numbers.
Yeah,
that's not,
I mean,
true, because no
film
one says
clips
that.
I'm here for. Bring back the acting film clips, bring back the nomination film clips.
Definitely.
Comedy, There's going to be none this year.
Yeah, because the host, it's an interesting host set.
Suck. Not all of them, but I don't, it's not going to be great. They're not great hosts.
I just don't understand what their connection is either, there's I guess, none. Too. Because you usually put people together that either have been in something together at least once, or they like obviously have a chemistry that connects them. But it just seems like a very random selection of people that are not in any movies from this year or next year, even like they're trying to promote something. It just is a very interesting choice, especially because it's been so long since they had a host. So you would think they would really want to like get someone that could really bring people in. I don't know. But with the categories, the Hollywood Reporter said that it was pressure from ABC. They told them to remove 12 categories or they would not air the ceremony. So I don't know if that's true or not, or if that's just like something they said to like get people off their back, but that's interesting, I guess, because it is like, there is pressure for them to get more ratings. Last year was like an awful year for ratings. And every year since 2012 has declined, I think, or something like that.
And what's crazy is they're doing this during the red carpet. So,
right, yeah.
That like none of these main people are going to be in there because they're doing the red carpet. And then it's like, what about the people who want to watch the red carpet? Because I always watch the red carpet. And then it's like, now stars are not going to be on the red carpet. Like,
well, because Jessica Chastain, she said she's going to skip the red carpet because she wants to be in the theater when they announce the makeup category.
And I would assume all these other actors who say that they care about this would also do the same thing. I would hope. I mean, I still would like to see their red carpet looks, but
I know, right?
At the same time, it's like, I would hope that they would also, I don't know. It just is like, this is so dumb and frustrating because they announce all this crap and then they're like, the first live performance of We Don't Talk About Bruno. And it's like, who wants to hear that song again? You hear it enough times in the world already, so please
Well, and they say that it's like, oh, we want to draw in the kids, the young viewers. Like, no one is tuning in to the Oscars just for the We Don't Talk About
They'll
Bruno.
They'll watch it on
that's
YouTube.
Be like 10 p.m. They'll just wake up the next day and watch it before school. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I don't really
here.
Understand. I mean, no kid wants to sit down. I mean, the kids that I nanny, they want to listen to We Don't Talk About Bruno constantly.
But they're not going to watch the
Oscars. But
they're not
going to watch a live performance of it. If anything, they'll want to watch the movie or the clip from the movie. Like,
right, yeah.
It complete and utter nonsense.
It's going to be the worst when they perform that and they're going to like pan to the audience and they're all going to be like dancing along. And you know, it's just like because the cameras are there and they told them to dance.
Yeah, I don't
I really wish Martin Scorsese was here. So I could see his reaction to We Don't Talk About Bruno.
It's just so dumb. I just cannot believe that this is happening. It just feels like it's being torn away from me bit by bit. My happiness.
I know.
Like, I have lost enough happiness in the past year. So just give me this one thing. That's all I ask.
It just makes no sense because you're trying to appeal to a group that isn't going to come anyway. Like, no one's going to tune into the Oscars because there's less categories. Like, oh, maybe I'll watch now because there's not going to be time taken up for makeup.
And the best thing that they could have done, in my opinion, if they actually wanted people to tune in, was to hire the Marvel stars to be the hosts.
Yeah,
everyone wanted Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland to host. Or, you know, Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Jacob Batalon. Like, it's like
literally anyone but the people they got.
Yeah,
because the people they got are going to draw in
no one cares. I mean, you could even have just had Tom Holland hosting and it's
right.
Still who expressed interest in hosting. And it's like, you know how many people that would bring in just to watch Tom Holland?
Well, that's what I think the original that was the original plan of the host was the person like the draw for more casual viewers to watch because they're like, oh, I really like Anne Hathaway. I really like Jimmy Kimmel. That said no one ever. But, you know, that was the intention of the host is to draw people in. And I don't think any Amy Schumer fans are going to be like, yeah, the Oscars, finally I'll watch. Yeah, it's not good, but let's go to an ad break, and then when we come back, we'll pretend that all of these categories are going to be televised live, and we'll give our predictions and also like what we want most.
Back.
It's prediction time, baby. So we both post our final predictions the day of the Oscars on social media.
Yeah, I'll post my sheet.
Right. And so I think usually with these, the last 2 years we've done them, most of them stay true. But sometimes we like to make a last minute change. I like to make a last minute change or a wild prediction. I don't know. So,
well, the last time that I made a last minute change was I had Parasite winning Best Picture, and then I changed it right before the awards, and then they won, and I was like,
"What did you change it to?"
I don't even remember. Whatever, 1917. Or whatever the other frontrunner was that year.
I predicted Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because that was
I honestly couldn't tell you.
The ghost for that one.
Whatever one was the frontrunner I went with, and I made the mistake. I knew it. My gut told me.
Hey, we both got it last year. We both got Nomadland last year, right?
Yeah, but that was like generally... That was no surprise.
Yeah,
that was generally
leading. You know,
leading.
But it is a win. I'll take a win when I get a win.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And maybe we can get another win this year. We'll see. We'll see what we do. So we just have an order here. This is the order we had them in last year, so we're just going to do the same order. So we have supporting actress up first. We have Jessie Buckley, Ariana DeBose, Judi Dench, Kirsten Dunst, and Anjanue Ellis are nominated. This is a pretty good slate. I think Judi Dench is kind of a boring choice because she's just been nominated so many times, but not a bad category overall. I would love to see Kirsten Dunst win because I love her performance, and also like she's never been nominated at all even. So, but like it'd be cool to see her win. But we both are on the same page with who's the winner's actually going to be.
Yeah. I mean, this, I would say out of all the awards, supporting actress and supporting actor are locked. And they have been locked for like weeks.
Well, this has been locked for like months.
Yeah.
I think.
Ariana DeBose is going to win this one. I have no stakes in this one. I don't really care who wins.
Yeah, as long as Judi Dench doesn't win. That's like the only one. Because like she's already won.
I barely even remember Jessie Buckley in The Last Daughter.
She was pretty good, but she's just like, I think she'll win again.
Performance,
you know,
to me,
like Ariana DeBose, like that's a character that we're not gonna see at least for a long time, until they make another remake. You know, like a very specific character. So I would rather see her.
Yeah, I think if I were to pick out of any of these, I would probably pick her. I really liked Anjanue Ellis's performance as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
I have no stakes in this one.
But that's like an easy lock, like you said. We don't really even have to go over that.
Yeah.
Makeup and hairstyling. Coming to America, Cruella, Dune, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, House of Gucci are the nominations here. I had to watch the first Coming to America.
Oh my gosh.
So I could understand this Coming to America. It wasn't worth it. But I would love to see Dune win here because I think the makeup in that movie is really good. And I think Dune might get this one. That's what my feeling is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is another one that I just don't really have I don't have a specific one that I'm like, I really want that to win, I have in the past in this category. I have not done enough research on this one. I have Cruella winning, just because I feel like that is something the Academy would pick. But I also think Eyes of Tammy Faye could be one that wins. I don't see Dune winning this.
I don't know. I think they might want to give it a lot of below-the-line wins. That's what my feeling is. But I'm not sure. This is always really hard. I mean, I know nothing about makeup or hairstyling. You know, either one is a mystery. I just would not want to see House of Gucci win because I think the makeup in that is not very good. Yeah.
I never watched that one.
Yeah, it was not very good. Documentary feature. Now, I haven't seen Attica or Writing with Fire yet, so I don't have enough knowledge on those. But for now, I would love to see Flea win.
Same.
As we've already said.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I can't see the other two, like, beating it, just because, like, it's really good.
Yeah, it is an incredible documentary.
Like, I don't remember the last time I've wanted, like, been this invested in a documentary winning, even though I don't think it will win. I think Summer of Soul will win, because that was, like, the documentary of the year, yeah. I would say. Which is, like, it's not bad, but it's just a little, like...
It's not bad. It was a fine viewing experience, and I enjoyed it. And then when I read all the stuff about it afterwards,
it ruined it for me.
And those articles came out a long time ago, and I don't think they're very public knowledge. No one talks about it, so I...
Do you want to explain to the audience what it is, just so they know?
I don't remember all of it, but basically, like, they had been these supposed tapes that had never been seen before, which was their whole slogan.
Yeah, the revolution that was never televised or whatever.
All that was not true, and people had tried to make a documentary before, people had gone through these tapes before. There were rights that were exchanged and lost over these tapes.
There was YouTube clips
of some of these things that the people who had the rights, someone had put on YouTube. Like, it just is like, I don't know. The whole drawing point was that it had never before been seen. And that was probably true for some of the footage. But it just was like, there was all this stuff about other people who had tried to do stuff with this footage before.
Yeah, with the footage.
And
yeah,
it kind of just happened to be like Questlove had the name and the money to be able to actually make this. And nothing against him, because, you know, I think he did a good job, but also, like, there's just a lot of shady stuff that there was a big article about it.
I would recommend people try to look that up, because I do think the article was good, and it brings attention to, like, people doing that archival work that didn't get
recognized
really any credit for finding it or, like, doing all that.
Yeah,
work,
and that just,
really,
like,
annoying.
Once I read all that, it really turned me off from this movie. And so when it wins, I'm not gonna be that excited, just because of that reason. But
that's
film industry.
Classic. All right, film editing. This is a notoriously bad category for wins. And we have Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, Power of the Dog, and Tick, Tick, Boom in the nominations.
Yeah. I would like Dune to win this. I haven't seen Don't Look Up. I don't remember anything about the editing in King Richard.
I don't either. Like, I maybe it's, like, a little flashy, maybe, or maybe the tennis scenes is why. I don't know why they picked that one, though. It's a very weird choice.
Yeah. I mean, I think the editing in Tick, Tick, Boom is pretty good. There's a lot of camera movement that they had to kind of stitch together for some of the numbers, I guess.
Well, and going back and forth between the play and his life, I think is probably why they did that. Yeah, I would love to see Power of the Dog win this. I think the editing is a big part of why that movie works. And, like, the big reveal at the end, why that works as well. I think Don't Look Up is going to win this, just because they seem to love Adam McKay's editor. Like, is really in, like, because I think Vice won this too. And they seem to really like that kind of off-kilter mockumentary style editing, which I don't like at all. So this is me being kind of negative, because I think that the film editing category is a lot of times just the winners are just bad, like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Don't even get me started.
So I think that's going to be that's going to be this one. And I think people are going to be mad, because that just seems like how it goes, is the worst option wins and then people get mad about it. That's what I think is going to win. But I don't know. This category, like, I really only like Dune and The Power of the Dog editing wise. So I don't know.
You skipped over costume design. Do we want to go back to that one?
I did. Oh, no, not the costume. I almost skipped over costume design. Like, the Oscars is going to skip over costume design.
No.
Oh, no. You know what would have been a funny bit is if we went through all of them, skipping, like, those eight, and then at the end, like, wait a second.
What happened to those categories?
Whatever. Bye, guys.
Oh, boy.
No. We have costume design here. What are the nominees in costume design?
We've got Cruella. I don't know how to pronounce this one. Serrano?
Cyrano.
Cyrano.
I just watched that this afternoon, so I remember.
I haven't seen that one. It does not interest me by any means.
Yeah, it's very boring.
It
wasn't that boring. It was okay.
Dune, Nightmare Alley, and West Side Story. I'd like to see Nightmare Alley win this. I like the costuming that. Again, we've said this a billion times. The circus, amazing. I love the costumes in the circus. I love the circus. Just give me all the circus vibes. I'm not really sure. I think West Side Story could probably win this. Cruella even could sneak in on this one.
There is a lot about the costume, obviously, in that movie. So that's interesting.
What do you think for this one?
Well, I agree. I would love Nightmare Alley to win. I think both the production design and the costumes, like all the visual elements, is what makes that movie work. I watched it again. Circus scene is not long enough. Like, they don't... I just... Again, like, more circus. Please.
Yeah, the whole thing should have just stayed in the circus.
I think either West Side Story will win this just because costumes that pop and stick in your head.
And a lot of, like, really impressive, like, color coding.
Yeah,
to differentiate
the
two groups.
Well, even like you have Maria's outfit when she goes to the dance with like the white dress, but then you have the red belt,
yeah.
Which is like just like a lot of really cool choices. Or I think Cyrano will win this because it's a costume drama period
they
piece.
They love period pieces in
they
this
do.
Category.
They truly do. which is why I don't think Nightmare Alley has a chance. I think it will either be probably Cyrano, Cruella, or West Side Story are the three that are like the three.
Imagine Dune winning this and it being the one movie that we're like, yeah.
I mean, I loved it. I would love to see it. I just don't think it will happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go to production design, which is going to be very similar to the conversation we just had.
Yeah, circuses.
Nightmare Alley. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is Dune, Nightmare Alley, Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story.
Yeah, I started Tragedy of Macbeth last night, and I got like 5 minutes in, and I fell asleep because I was so tired. It wasn't because it was boring. So I haven't seen this one yet. In the 5 minutes, there wasn't really any sets or production design. Like, it was pretty cloudy, sure. So I don't know if I could really comment on it. I don't think it will be better than Nightmare Alley, though, because that was like... Again, one of the main things that just stuck out in my mind about that movie. Again, watching it again, that I was really looking for that. And even in the second half of the movie, which we both liked much less than the circus, there are even then a lot of good sets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps me interested, even when that section is a little weirdly paced.
Yeah, I think that West Side Story is going to win this one.
Yeah. Definitely agree.
It's so hard because for me, like, I think all these kind of sort of technical categories, both with like film production technical and these other stuff like production design, I think it's a toss up between Dune and West Side Story on those, but I think people are going to lean West Side Story because it's definitely more populous and not like sci-fi.
Well, and I think it would be a worthy win too.
I think
like,
so
it's
too.
Still very good. Like I would rather that win than even The Power of the Dog. Like I love that movie, but I don't think the production design on that is better than a lot like any of these other ones. Cinematography, very same story. Dune, Nightmare Alley, Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story. All the same movies. and we both think West Side Story is going to win.
I think so. I don't know that I would have said that a month ago, 2 months ago. But then, there's been, like, a West Side Story renaissance before it released on streaming. And then it was on Disney+. So I think it really... now is fresh in the minds of the people that were voting. It was all over Twitter, social media.
Del Toro was tweeting about it too, which is like when you know, it's like even the filmmakers are talking about
it. Yeah, so I think
it
would be crazy if West Side Story didn't win this.
Yeah, I agree.
But
it would be a big snub. It's definitely the front runner here.
Yeah. And then we got sound, of course. Because you can't
have a movie without sound.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a silent film. I think I made that same joke
still,
before.
There's still music.
there is still music. So here we have Belfast coming in hot. Belfast, Dune, No Time to Die. That's another new one that we haven't talked about yet. Power of the Dog and West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty clear on this one, I think.
Yeah, I think Dune is going to win this one. Out of these, Dune would be my favorite pick. I thought all the stuff with the ships and Arrakis and the sand and all that, I think just really accentuated that movie and made it as... that you're actually experiencing that world, which is definitely the one of the better parts of Dune. So
yeah, I agree. I think the sound is one of the highlights of that movie for sure. And if it doesn't win, it's gonna be if Belfast wins this, I'm gonna be so mad. The sound in Belfast is not good. It's very bad.
I couldn't imagine something like that winning this. Usually the sound category goes to an action movie. I would say this is between Dune and No Time to Die, because those are just, and maybe West Side Story because of the music mixing.
And I do think even Power of the Dog has very good sound. So I think you can have good sound in those. I just don't think it will win because that's not what people are thinking about when they're going to watch that. And I don't think any Academy voter is going to rewatch Power of the Dog specifically to focus on sound.
Yeah.
That's just not what they're going to do because they barely can watch.
And the
movies,
sound in Dune is most memorable.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the things that you remember without having to rewatch it, which is important for keeping in mind when you're thinking about what they're going to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. International film. This is actually not a bad category. I haven't seen Lunana. A Yak in the Classroom. I haven't seen that one yet. But we have The Worst Person in the World, The Hand of God, Flee, and Drive My Car. Did not like The Hand of God, so would not want that one to win.
Very much disliked that movie, which is a bummer because I was looking forward to that one, and then I watched it, and I was like, ooh.
It looks kind of pretty.
Not a fan.
I mean, it's kind of like he watched Call Me By Your Name and was like, what if I just made that again with a discount Timothée Chalamet? And an Italian city that's not quite as cool. That's basically what it felt like. But I think Drive My Car is going to win this. That seems the only option. Because if it doesn't, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's locked. Flea, I would like to see win. I haven't seen Drive My Car, so maybe I would like it more. But I love Flea again. But I definitely think at this point, and I think... they'll Drive My Car is kind of out of the best picture race.
Right,
so
exactly.
So they usually, Parasite was the exception, but they'll usually give this movie, the international film, instead of best picture, so.
Right, which is good that they're, recognizing it, but it is a little disappointing that international film always turns into a category that, you always know what's going to win international film before... the ceremony even starts, that's always a lock because there's always the one critically acclaimed one that they don't think is good enough to win best picture, but they'll give it the international film consolation prize.
Sure.
Which again is good that it's good. It's getting recognized, but Worst Person in the World is another movie that's so good, but it just doesn't have a chance to win because Drive My Car is again, they're treating this as a consolation prize rather than, I don't know. It's not great. They've made good strides in some ways, but it's also in other ways not so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to another lock here. We have supporting actor.
Yeah, this one, no one else stands a chance here.
And I like a lot of these performances. I think Ciarán Hinds, Belfast, I thought he was good. Troy Kotsur, Coda, Jesse Plemons, and Cody Smith McPhee from Power of the Dog. Which is cool. And then J.K. Simmons being the Ricardos, that's not a good performance. So he's the only one here that I did not like. But it's going to be Troy Kotsur. There's no doubt anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's swept every single award ceremony, and I'm here for it.
Hey, he won our best
like
supporting
I said,
actor.
He swept.
So he swept. He really swept.
Yeah, like we said in that episode, his performance is really amazing. And he is so funny. All of his, like, I've watched his speeches, and I just, like, I'm ready for him to give the speech. I'm excited for what he's going to say.
Oh, it's going to be so funny.
I think he's so funny. He seems like a great guy, and I'm glad that he's winning this.
All right, animated feature.
Mm.
This is an interesting category, because there are three movies that I think it would be cool to see win, and then two movies that I don't really like, and I think one of those two is going to win.
Unfortunately, yeah, I agree.
So we have Encanto, Flea, Luca, The Mitchells versus the Machines, and Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah, obviously we both want Luca to win this, no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I would also, again, love to see Flea win this one. I think it just is so creative. I think Mitchells versus the Machines, it wasn't one of my favorites. I think I gave it 3.5 stars.
We both did, yeah.
But, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot, and I think that it used some really kind of creative aspects in its animation that I think would be very notable to win this award, but Encanto is going to win this, unfortunately, which, like,
yeah.
Is so crazy because I don't think it would have if it didn't do the release strategy it did.
What do you think would have won? Like, if you had to pick another one.
I think Mitchells would have won if Encanto didn't do... Because Mitchells had... I mean, that came out at the beginning of 2022. I mean, 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh. It came out very early on, like February or March, I think. I could be wrong.
That sounds right.
And it's like, people are still talking about that movie.
No, yeah. I saw it at Target the other day because they did like a physical release, which is so cool.
And I love Luca, but I don't think it generated the same amount of like fan support that Mitchells has.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think it would have won if Encanto didn't do the 1 month to streaming, because I think if it had stayed in the theater and not gone to streaming, it never would have blown up on TikTok, and the songs wouldn't have blown up in the same way. And I think that was what was really driving the force behind this one. It just is, it's frustrating. I haven't even seen this movie. I have seen all the song scenes though. So every musical that is on YouTube, I've seen it.
Let me tell you, this movie is not good. I don't know what people are on. This movie is not good. This is the last time we'll have to talk about it. So, I'll talk about it when it wins. But this is not a good movie. I'd rather it win than Raya, though. So as long as Raya doesn't win.
Well, and like, I knew what you thought about the movie, and I knew what Kristen, my sister-in-law, thought about the movie, because we had talked about it.
Did she like it?
And no. And,
oh, wow.
Like, not a lot. Like, just, I think she had just thought it was pretty mid.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So
that's what I mean, I gave it a 3, so it's like
yeah
very mid.
But like, so I knew that, but then I knew other people loved it, and I hadn't watched it yet. I should probably throw it on this week, when I first saw the clips from the movie with the songs, I was like, this is really bad.
It's very
bad.
The music
understand.
Is so bad,
and the music is bad.
Here's the thing, I don't remember who said this. Someone said this recently. Was it Zach when we were recording on Godfellas? Maybe it was him. I'm going to say it was him in case it was him. So like, I'm not taking someone's idea. But it basically sounds like Lin-Manuel Miranda's like voice memos. Where it's like he was just like, no. And then he like went through his voice memos like, that sounds like it could be a song for my movie. Yeah, the music
and
is just so bad.
Blown. I mean, it gets stuck in your head, though. Every day that I nanny, those kids want to listen to this soundtrack.
That's why people like. That's why people think if something's catchy, it's good.
But then
that's
it'll be stuck in my head all day long, and my brain just on loop is like, "Stand but tall, but rats around." I don't even know the words, but like,
dear God.
We don't talk about Bruno, no.
Bruno says it looks like rain.
Pressure like a drip, drip, drip.
That song is the worst. That's the worst song on the soundtrack. That one and the opening song.
Kids love it, though. That is what I guess. If you're giving it to the movie that kids love the most, I guess this one.
Don't try to get the kids to watch, man. It's for the kids. All right. These are the short categories. We won't spend too long on these because I don't think many people pay attention to these very much. I did watch all 15 of these shorts. I have seen them.
Yeah, our theater didn't do it this year. Normally, theater...
That's a bummer.
Yeah, neither of my theaters did. Normally, our theater does what your theater did, where they play, you know, the packs of them.
Yeah, I watched the live-action one that way, because they're not really anywhere. I was able to find all the animated shorts and documentary shorts online. So that's how I watched those. I only had to use a VPN for one. So now I wasn't that bad. But yeah, I did watch live action shorts that way because they were nowhere. But I'll just go through because if you care about these, you already know what's nominated. And if you don't care about them, then you don't care what's nominated. So I'm just going to go through, say what I want and what I think will win.
Sure.
So live action short, I would like On My Mind to win because I thought that was a very cute short. I know a lot of people did not like that one because it was too cheesy. I'll take it. You know, someone singing karaoke to their dying wife is all that you need for a short film to work, I think.
Yeah.
I think The Long Goodbye is going to win, though, because Riz Ahmed is the... Yeah. They always pick the one that has the famous actor in it, you know?
Mm.
So I think that one's going to win. Animated short. This is kind of sad because all four of the five are very creative and different. And I picked the one that I would want to win that is not that. Because I think the other ones, I don't think they really work. I would want Robin to win, and which is the one I think will win. Because that's again, the American one usually wins.
Yeah.
Or the one in English, I guess, usually wins. And it's I do think even though it is the quote-unquote basic one, the animation is still very creative. So I don't feel bad wanting it to win as much as if it was a Pixar short or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is the only one of any of the shorts that I have seen, and I loved it. So I want it to win,
really good.
And I think it'll probably win just because it was Netflix, it was popular.
Yeah.
People probably already saw it before they watched any of the other ones on their Oscar screeners, so.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that this has a felt stop-motion animation style, and which is very creative, but also Bestia also has a felt animation style. So it's very interesting that we have two of those this year. So then documentary short, I would like The Queen of Basketball to win. This is my favorite of all the shorts, all 15. This one is really good. I think it's on Vimeo because New York Times did it. So I would definitely recommend this one. It's very nice and sweet. I think Lead Me Home will win because they always pick the most exploitative documentary short to win. And that is this one about I think it's the homeless community in three major cities, Seattle, New York, and LA, I think. I don't know. It's definitely three cities, and definitely one of them is Seattle. But that's what that one's about. So I think that's what's gonna win because they always pick the one that's the most exploitative or the one that has the most manipulative tendencies. So that's what I think will win this one. I could also see three songs for Benazir winning because that's also a little similar. I don't think it's very in this exploitative in the same way, but it is definitely very emotional. Or When We Were Bullies might win because that's the one that everyone hates this year. And a lot of times that's the one that wins. Skin won a few years ago. And When We Were Bullies is the one that people hate. So I don't know. You'll be interesting. I love the short film categories because I think they're so interesting, but I'm so sad that they won't be live this year.
Yeah.
Really sad. But yeah, that's my little short film talk.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
So now we have VFX, our good old
the
visuals.
Cool kids category.
So Dune, Free Guy.
Free Guy! Yeah!
I almost watched that the other night, and I started it, and then I think I, fell asleep or something, and just didn't watch
Classic
it.
Free Guy moment.
Yeah. No Time to Die, Shang-Chi, and Spider-Man, No Way Home.
What's that movie?
I've never heard of that one. I haven't heard of it.
What is that?
I think I would love to see Dune win in this category.
Agreed.
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to win here?
I think Spider-Man's going to win just because I think it's like the consolation prize kind of thing where it didn't get nominated for Best Picture. It's not nominated for anything else. So they don't want people to get mad if it loses its nomination. And they'll see it like, oh, well, it will give it one Oscar. So that's why I think it's going to win, mostly just because I think people politics, are going to see Spider-Man and want to give it the one win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I would probably lean towards that one. I could see probably maybe Dune winning this one too. But they love their superhero movies.
The most wild pick here would be Shang-Chi, because Shang-Chi 1 had terrible VFX. And 2, it would be funny if they picked that Marvel movie
over Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah. If you just saw it, such a weird win.
I even saw it in IMAX and it was still bad. Like
Shang-Chi?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it was not good VFX at all. That ending fight with the dragons? Yikes.
I still... That was still just so... Okay, anyway, original screenplay.
Original screenplay. This is such a disappointing category for this year. We have Belfast, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, and The Worst Person in the World. Belfast, Don't Look Up, and King Richard, I don't know why those got nominated.
King Richard is the only movie I've seen on this list.
Wow. Because you didn't watch Don't Look Up yet.
Yeah,
you're the only person probably on film Twitter that didn't watch that.
I didn't want to. When I saw all that stuff, I was like, I just don't want to see it. I don't care.
Gotta say, my Don't Look Up take is that it's not that bad. I think it's like an okay movie. I think people hate on it too much. I don't think it's worthy of winning or even being nominated for much, but I don't think it's like, I don't know. I think the discourse was just I think people were just looking for something to be mad about because they were online during Christmas, like just look and they were everyone watched that movie and they were like, oh my gosh, now I can talk about it online and now everyone's talking about it and hating on it. It's just very easy to jump on the bandwagon. I don't think it was that bad, but anyway. I don't think you would like it, though, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, if I were to pick one off this list that I think the Academy voters will vote for, that's what I would pick, is Don't Look Up, I think.
Interesting. It's also interesting because that's highly improvised, that movie. So half of it is not even in the screenplay,
okay,
which is really
interesting.
Weird.
Yeah, because a lot of celebrities liked this movie. So
that's true.
Those celebrities that are like, I'm liberal. I'm for the people. I saw them posting about this movie a lot. So I could see that one winning.
That's a good point. All the Parks and Rec actors. I would either Licorice Pizza or The Worst Person in the World, just because those are the only two out of the five that I liked. I would be fine with either of them. I think Licorice Pizza is going to win. This is actually one I think I'm pretty confident about because a lot of people have been saying this is like Paul Thomas Anderson's like his recognition because he's never won an Oscar, I don't believe. And that is what I think that they're going to treat this as.
Yeah,
is
they like to do
his
that.
His recognition Oscar.
Which
and
is
this is
silly.
Like his a very palatable movie compared to some of his others, like The Master. So that would make sense even in that way where it's like they always pick the most palatable movie as your recognition Oscar. All right. Adapted screenplay, a very similar category.
So we got here Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog. We both said Dune.
Yes, because that won our overall screenplay category. So that's a definite win for us.
Yeah. I think Coda's going to win this one.
Interesting.
I think that it has won a couple so far, and I think with all the buzz that's surrounding it, it makes the most sense for this one to win, in my opinion. So that is what I am going to be going with.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would say either that or I put Drive My Car because I think, I mean, it's another, like, consolation Oscar for not getting Best Picture. But I also think it is a writer's movie because it is about the production of a play and a writing, and that's plays a very big part in it. Even adaption plays a big part in it because it's about the adaption of a play into on stage. And yeah, I think for that reason, Oscar voters love voting for movies that are about them because that's who they are.
Yeah.
They like to see themselves represented on screen. And I think that is another reason why this might win. But Coda, I could see too, because it's, like you said, won a lot of stuff. But has it gone up against Drive My Car at all? Because I know that's a international film.
I'm not sure.
So I don't know if it's gone up against it yet. So who knows? Original score. We're both locked in on this one and both of our wants and our predictions, which is interesting.
Yeah, this is one I might change, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard. This is a hard category always. So we have Don't Look Up, Dune, Encanto, Parallel Mothers, and The Power of the Dog. I would love to see The Power of the Dog win. Johnny Greenwood,
yeah, I liked
one of
score.
My favorite composers. The score for this movie is incredible. I would love to see him get a win. I think Dune will win, though, because, again, it's like one of the things you remember. But I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, and a popular composer.
Right. Yeah.
I have Dune right now winning. I think Power of the Dog could win also as...
I would be so excited. That would be like my most exciting win.
Well, I think it would be also a combination win. So being like, oh, Spencer was really good and we decided not to nominate it.
Right.
But maybe we give him the award for Power of the Dog. But it's sort of like he scored two amazing movies this year with amazing
scores.
Well,
and he did the theme song for Licorice Pizza. So he did three Oscar winning movies.
Could be. Yeah. I think that
That's a good point.
So I haven't decided on that one yet. I need to do some thinking. I'll probably lean towards Dune, but I think Power of the Dog could take it.
Interesting. Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe the voters are going to vote Encanto to win that one.
Oh, God. That would be the worst out of all of these to win. Because even the Parallel Mother score is pretty good.
I like the Don't Look Up score, too.
You listened to it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good score. It definitely in the movie is not noticeable at all. So it's really interesting. Because, like, I watched that again listening for the score, and I, like, could barely hear it. Which is kind of sad because the score is pretty good. The next category is everyone's favorite category, mm-hmm. I think. Original song.
Yes.
I listened.
This is
I have
my
not
favorite
seen
category.
Four Good Days because they somehow you do from Four Good Days is nominated. I did listen to all these though today to refresh. So Somehow You Do from Four Good Days, No Time to Die from Spencer. No, it's from No Time to Die. Down to Joy from Belfast. Do you know how to pronounce this?
Dos Oraguitas?
That sounds right. From Encanto. This is in the flashback scene, I believe.
Okay.
It's a very pivotal moment in the movie. And Be Alive from King Richard. We both think the Encanto song's going to win this because that just is like the obvious choice.
I said No Time to Die. It's kind of funny because that song came out when the movie was originally supposed to come out.
Yeah, it's been out for so long.
But I loved it when it came out. And so I am still here on that train. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I would like to see it win. I put Be Alive because I listened to Again I'm All today. And that song was pretty cool. It's Beyonce. Like, it's a good song.
We stand. We love Beyonce.
And I don't remember when it came on in the movie, though. Like, was that a credit song?
It must have been.
It seems like a credit song. But it was a good song. So that would be cool, too. But Encanto's definitely going to win.
Leading actor? Amazing.
We're into the big categories now. This is such a weird category this year. I mean, not in who's going to win, but the nominations are wild.
Yeah, so do you want to read them?
Sure. So we have Javier Bardem from Being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch from The Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield from Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith from King Richard, and Denzel Washington from The Tragedy of Macbeth, which again, we both haven't seen that, so can't comment on his performance.
So I said Andrew Garfield that I would want to win. I'm going to stick with my boy. I love him, and I'm going to always root for him, so that's why he's my pick.
I said Benedict Cumberbatch because, I mean, it's my favorite of the performances. But I didn't really think about it. I mean, it's like my favorite, so I'll pick that one. But we both know that Will Smith is winning this one. So it's like, feels a little bit.
I would say
like
that this one is
it.
Like, is pretty locked, which is funny because I think we said that too when we watched it.
Yeah, it,
we
yeah,
were
definitely.
Like, oh, he's going for it. Like, he's gunning for the Oscar here.
Well, I think everyone thought he was a lock before the movie came out even. And then it was like, I feel like there was a couple months where it was like, is he going to win? Because he wasn't doing as much press, but he's ramped up the press in the past few months and won a lot of stuff.
Has he won an Academy Award before?
No. Okay. This is another one of those. Like,
yeah, so this is a long time coming. Give him an Oscar.
Yeah, I think this is an easy choice.
And two, I don't know what he's going to do again that's going to be this caliber. So
that's true.
Because normally he's not in movies like this. He plays very action dad roles, which this is a dad role, but it's not like, it's not the same, you know what I mean? It's not those.
It's not the same kind of dad role.
Yeah.
Right. Different dads. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't know if he'll ever have a chance to win another Oscar, so I'm not like against it. It's just not. Again, it's another one of those where it's like, I feel like acting categories always get locked so fast, and I'd like to see a little competition, but we are getting that this year in leading actress, because
yeah,
it's very up in the air who's going to win this one.
Yeah, so we have Jessica Chastain from Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz from Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman from Being the Ricardos, which, like, they got so many acting noms.
Yeah, again, they love movies about them. That's what it is.
They love it. And Kristen Stewart for Spencer. We both said we wanted Kristen Stewart.
Can you imagine that Oscar speech? That would be
amazing.
Such a great Oscar speech.
Amazing. I love her. And, you know, yeah, we stand the gays. So we just want her to win for that reason.
That would be such a funny t-shirt if we had t-shirts.
We stand the gays.
Yeah.
I think at this point, I think Jessica Chastain's going to take it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Kristen Stewart still has a chance. At this point, I think everyone else is out of the race. It's going to be one of them.
Olivia Colman, though, she's always there with, like, her little eye. Like, I feel like she's always just creeping in the background. Like,
I love her.
I'm going to win.
I love her. Like, her speech for The Favorite is still one of my all-time favorite Oscar speeches ever. That and Eddie Redmayne for playing Stephen Hawking. Yeah. Anyway, I would love to see Kristen Stewart win this. And I think maybe she has an edge. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
This is a really hard one.
That isn't 100% locked, but I think over the past couple awards ceremonies, Jessica Chastain has taken the very small line above the other ones. But that doesn't, I'm not 100% on it, so.
Yeah, it's a hard one. This is one I might be changing. I don't know. All right, directing, we have Kenneth Branagh, Belfast. I'm just going to say his last name, Hamaguchi, Drive My Car. I don't want to mispronounce his first name. Paul Thomas Anderson, Licorice Pizza, Jane Campion, Power of the Dog, and Steven Spielberg, West Side Story. This is a pretty good category this year, besides Kenneth Branagh just sitting in there like, hey guys, here I am.
Yeah. Okay, so I want Spielberg to win this because I love him and I liked West Side Story, and that's pretty much my reasons.
If I had to pick, like, who did the best directing out of these five, I would pick Steven Spielberg. I think his directing was the best out of these. But I also put Jane Campion because Steven Spielberg already has 3 directing nominations, wins. He's already won 3 times. Jane Campion has never won. And it'd be cool to see another woman director win for the second year in a row. And again, like, Steven Spielberg, he's already won 3 times. Does he need to win again? I don't know. But I think Jane Campion will win anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Sure. I agree with you, but I also think that she shot herself in the foot.
That's true. That's true. The speech was a big blunder by her.
Because that speech happened, like, almost right before voting. I just have a gut feeling. I think I'm still putting her down for now, but I'm also, like, I'm second guessing just a little bit because of that. because
you
it happened.
If anyone else wins, it will be Spielberg.
I think it would probably be. It's hard to say.
It might be Drive My Car too. Like people might just put him.
That was what I was saying. I think he would be the next one. But like you said, I think Paul Thomas Anderson.
That speech really shook things up.
Yeah,
you're right.
Because
yeah.
I think she definitely was the standing leader, and then the others were kind of in a pack right behind her. And I maybe it's too split between the other three that, you know, someone like us who's like, I don't know, this one's good, is like, well, someone chooses Hamaguchi, someone else chooses Paul Thomas Anderson because they didn't choose her. And maybe it
I would love to see the split
the vote.
For
I
this
don't know.
Vote. Like
it's
this
a
would be a really
category.
Interesting split to see. Why don't they release the splits either? The splits
I don't know.
Need
I would
to be
love
released.
To see it. I think release she the has the edge still though, because I think they're gonna go with another woman regardless. But I don't know. I think this could be a category that could be an upset. I think I'm
keep your eye on it, guys. Keep your
you guys
eye
might think I'm crazy
peeled.
Because you're probably like, no she's so. Locked, but I have my good reasons.
She was locked until the speech,
yeah,
the fateful speech, which she if she loses, that's gonna haunt her for the rest of her life, that speech. All right, we're here, we've made it to Best Picture in our 10 nominees. We have Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. And I will say, there are only three movies on this list that I would not want to see win. I would not want to see Belfast, Don't Look Up, or King Richard win, because I don't think those are Best Picture worthy. Honestly, I know, like, there's a lot of them that are out of the race, but just hypothetically, any of the other seven, I'd be like, okay, that's cool. Even Nightmare Alley, like, okay, that's cool. That's a cool win.
Yeah, I would say I still haven't seen Belfast, I haven't seen Don't Look Up, and I haven't seen Drive My Car. I would not, or Licorice Pizza, good God. I wouldn't want King Richard to win, like you said, but the other ones I would be fine with as well. If I could pick one to win, I would pick West Side Story out of these. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise what you're going to pick.
Yeah, I mean, I picked Power of the Dog because that's my favorite movie of the year. But like, if I had to look at a second one, I think Dune would be really cool. But kind of like Danny already said in one of our answers to the questions, it might be cooler if that just won for part two. So maybe my second choice would be West Side Story. You know, that would be cool as well, I think. Drive My Car would also be cool to see, like, another international film win Best Picture. Even though it wasn't my favorite movie, I still think it'd be cool for those reasons.
Would West Side Story... No. Did A Star Is Born win twice?
No, A Star Is Born didn't win Best Picture, I don't think.
Because it's been... any of the times that it's come out?
I think it's won once. I don't know if it won twice, but
would
you're
West
right.
Side
yeah, West Side Story
be
win.
The first one to win twice, like an
that'd
adaptation
be,
of...
Be, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Yeah.
I don't know.
Man,
that would be
pretty,
pretty cool.
Crazy.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, if it does win, you can expect another West Side Story remake in like 30 years then.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
Totally.
Like they're not waiting another... They're not waiting another 60 years if this wins Best Picture. Yeah, but in the last day, it's good that we record on Sundays, because in the last day, the Best Picture race is really heated up.
Which I've said for a few weeks now that I thought Coda was creeping up, and I kept seeing tweets that was, I wish I had tweeted it too. Maybe I messaged it to you at one point.
Maybe.
But I kept seeing tweets from critics that were like, after whatever, I don't remember, the SAG Awards or something, they were like, this doesn't change anything. Coda is still third or fourth place. And I was kind of with them. Like, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I think it's like, I don't think it's out of the race, but I don't know that it's like gonna win.
Yeah.
But in the past couple weeks and then in the past 24 hours, I have been like, I think it's gonna win. I have up through been like, Power of the Dog is gonna sweep. Power of the Dog is going to win Best Picture, and I have thought that for months, But now I think Coda's going to win.
Okay, well, look at that. I'm still on the Power of the Dog train, but obviously, like, it could go either way. I think those are, they are definitely the two front runners. It's either going to be Power of the Dog or Coda. It was, like, between, it was them two, it was West Side Story, and I think even Nightmare Alley a little were, like, the four that I think, the four finalists, you could say.
Yeah.
And then Nightmare Alley, I think, fell out, about a month ago. And then West Side Story, I don't think the hype lasted long enough for that to be in the top two, you know? It was only like a week or so.
Well, and I haven't seen celebrities talk about that one as much. I've seen a lot of just normal, regular Twitter users talk about it. I've seen a lot of critics talk about it. But I haven't seen a lot of people who are in the Academy. I mean, obviously, there's like 9,000 Academy voters. And I don't follow all of them, obviously. But
yeah,
I don't think that it's as popular with those people as it is with the general public. So I think that one's not going to win. I really think at this point it is a toss-up between Power of the Dog and Coda.
Yeah. And I definitely think we'll know by the end of the ceremony before they announce it, because if Power of the Dog wins a lot of its nominations, then I think it's Power of the Dog. Like, I think that will make that clear. Like, especially if Jane Campion wins. Yeah, just because Power of the Dog was nominated for so many awards.
Well,
if it gets like
Coda
5 or 6 wins.
Was only nominated for 3. So
right, exactly.
And I think it's going to win its other two. I think it's going to win Best Supporting Actor and Best Adapted Screenplay.
The screenplay will be big. If it wins Best Adapted Screenplay, it's in. I think if it loses Best Adapted Screenplay, then
yeah,
it's out.
I think it's going to win. I think it's going to take all of them. I'll put my money in it because I want to be right. And I don't want to be like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, I'd rather
put all your chips in.
I'd rather put all my chips in and then get it right and then be like, look at me. I knew, I called it. I understand the wavelengths of the Academy's thinking. And I think it's going to be, because I would normally say, okay, so if this was between Power of the Dog and West Side Story, let's say West Side Story was at the same level as Coda right now, I would be like, they're going to choose Power of the Dog because it was directed by a woman. And we just had a woman win last year. And I know that's politics and is all just, you know, not substantiated.
But both Coda and Power of the Dog are directed by women.
I think Coda is going to take the edge because I think this is more of an Academy movie than Power of the Dog is. Because I think we've seen, and a lot of people have compared this to Green Book. I don't necessarily
the ridiculous comparison.
I think that's a dumb comparison for the reason people are making it. But I do think it's a decent comparison in the sense that it's a feel-good movie. Obviously in way different ways. And
that it's very uninspired visually.
Yeah. So, but I do think that we're on a trend of people wanting to feel good about life. They want to have something that makes them happy. They want to have something that makes them feel inspired right now. This whole year, 2 years, has been people latching on to good news, and they want good news. And this
from John Krasinski.
And this movie is good news, and that is why I think it's gonna win. I'm on the Coda train for this one. All my eggs are in the basket.
All your eggs are in the Coda basket. Speaking of good news, feel good moments.
Oh no.
Let's go to the biggest category. Oscars cheer moment.
Oh my gosh. I don't understand this at all. Can you explain kind of what is going on with this?
I don't even know. So okay. Basically, well, cuz people tweet on Twitter, their Oscar cheer moment. Where like, I guess a moment in a movie where you're cheering. Now, I knew that going in. I was not aware that it could be any movie from any year.
Yeah, that is what confuses me.
And I don't think other people were aware either, because one of the nominations is the Flash Speed Force scene from Zack Snyder's The Justice League. And I don't think, if you're putting that moment against every movie ever made, that is not a top 5 cheer moment.
Well, yeah, because I'm thinking of other, like, incredible movie scenes, some of the greatest movie moments of all time.
Well, and it's, and like, you have one here. You have Neo dodging bullets from The Matrix, which is like, how are you going to put that scene up against the Justice League scene? I do think, like, Avengers Assemble Endgame, that's obviously one of those scenes, like,
And anytime I see that stupid video of the movie, you know what video I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what video you're talking about.
The same one, I cry because
wow,
that movie, it was a moment. I didn't cheer in the theater.
It was a moment.
But I did, I embraced that. I felt the energy in that moment.
Yep. Another one from this year got nominated was the Spider-Man team up, which again is like a very big scene, but I don't know if that would be nominated if you're putting up against every movie ever made. Sure. Like, is that a top five cheer moment in cinema history? I don't know. Maybe it is. And then this one, Dreamgirls, like I've never seen Dreamgirls, so I don't know how powerful Effie White's and I am telling you I'm not going scene is. I'm not sure how good that scene is, but I'm not sure if the top 10. I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, movies that I was in my life that had massive cheer moments, like when Molly Weasley kills Bellatrix, and she's like...
Right.
That was... I mean, people stood up in my theater and, like, gave her a standing ovation and, like, screamed their heads off. And so in my mind, I'm like, I mean... erase Harry Potter from existence, but also, like, I think that that is more of a cheer moment than Flash.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Force. I guess it's just like,
well, and I even think, like, were people thinking real cheer moments here? Because I think people cheered more in Spider-Man No Way Home when Andrew Garfield showed up than when the Spider-Man teamed up. Like, that scene, that's the scene that people have the photos, the videos of at the theater. Like, people don't talk about the Spider-Man team up moment as much
well,
as the
and when
Andrew
they
Garfield
cheer
moment.
when they teamed up, I mean, I don't, where are we counting this team up? Is it when they meet
for
the
first time?
I think it's
like in the scene where they're,
or when they're like,
I thought it was in the swinging scene.
Okay, because
where like they are a team.
Like when they meet for the first time, that is a sad moment because Tom Holland is like crying and grieving.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Where are we cheering?
Roof.
I don't know. But I am not a movie clapper. I'm not a movie cheerer. When Andrew Garfield came in, even though I knew he was coming, he came in, I was like, yes! Hands up in the air. I was so excited. So I'll vote for that one. Sure. I think it's going to win.
Oh,
I think that
man.
One's... I think Spider-Man Team Up is going to win just because, like you said,
definitely.
Spider-Man No Way Home, people need to give it an award for something. This is pretty much probably the only reason they even created this thing was for Spider-Man No Way Home.
No, definitely.
And
I
then
think
we'll
get,
also get
well.
The fan favorite.
Yeah,
that
I don't
will
know if
announced.
They've even released the nominations for that yet.
Well,
so.
I saw someone like calculated them. I mean, at least the ones that were tweeted about, because people were talking
definitely
about how...
Definitely Spider-Man will win that one,
well,
I think.
People were talking about how Cinderella was beating Spider-Man.
Oh, right, because of the Camila Cabello fandom.
Yes, so...
Getting in there.
Who knows?
Wow. Can you imagine if Cinderella wins?
I would die.
And
honestly,
they have James Corden
like,
come on stage, do that, his little hip thrust.
I mean, it would be awful, but at the same time, I think that might make my night better. Just to like,
well, that will. I think that will also just show how dumb the Oscars, like these ideas are, where it's like,
yeah,
you really guys want Cinderella winning?
Yeah,
like maybe Joe wants Cinderella to win because of the Cinder series. I don't know. Maybe he was a big fan. Bringing that one back all
yeah,
the way
let
from
us
the
know.
Beginning.
Let us know.
let us know, Joe. Is that your... is Wait, because that's our question of the week. What is this year's biggest Oscar snub? And maybe that's Joe's biggest Oscar snub. Is Cinderella.
Could you imagine? He probably never watched it. He said he didn't watch any 20... No. Like, he only watched like 10, 20, 21 movies.
And that was one of
that
them.
That was one of
was
them.
Cinderella.
Cinderella. Yeah, what is this year's biggest Oscar snub? I think I would go with Denis Villeneuve's directing nomination being snubbed.
Right. I mean, I think I would agree. It's hard. Like, I think you have to think of a snub like that as like, what someone thought was going to get nominated that didn't. Like, so it's not like a personal snub.
Sure.
Because I would have rather like one of my favorite movies get nominated for Best Picture, obviously, but I don't think that was going to happen. So I agree. I think Denis was definitely the one where when it happened and the nominations, when they were announced, I was like, this is going to be, no one's going to be happy about this. This is going to be a very big deal.
Yeah.
And it was. People were very mad. So maybe that's the only answer we're going to get.
Yeah.
And so maybe if you're here listening, give us maybe your second biggest snub, just so we have some interesting stuff
to read. Some variety. I think, too, one that I've seen in the past 24 hours is that if CODA had gotten the buzz sooner, The Mom probably would have been nominated for Supporting Actress. Amelia Jones probably would have been in the conversation for Best Actress. So it just is like...
Well, there's even a Best Original Song on there, too. Like, I think it would have gotten one of those.
Yeah.
So there's a lot it could have gotten. Definitely not, like, cinematography, because that movie's very ugly, but...
Yeah.
The other stuff, acting stuff, definitely.
Yeah, so I do think there's a lot that just happens in the way the Oscars work and the politics, that it just is like, things happen the way they happen, and... movies get missed, and that's what it is.
Yeah, so let us know what this your opinion on what this year's biggest Oscar snub is. You can reach out to us on our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our email, our website, all down in the show notes, so you can check all that out. And we'll read those answers out on our next episode, which, obviously, what is our next episode going
to
be?
It'll be our reaction to the Oscars. So we'll have watched the Oscars. We'll share our thoughts on who wins. We'll share our thoughts on the ceremony, if it actually sucked. We'll share our thoughts on the Encanto performance.
Give our 10-star ratings.
The great moments on the Encanto of one. The Oscars.
The Oscar cheer moments.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure, we'll see how editing stuff goes, but that one might be delayed till Wednesday, just because, like, we'll obviously be recording that on a Monday, and we might not want to have to do that turnaround for an edit, but we don't know. Keep a lock to the socials to see what goes on with that, but it will definitely be on Wednesday. We'll get our reactions out for that, and I mean like I said, I'm not like pumped, but I'm always kind of like excited for the Oscars. I think I'll be much more excited on the day, just because, but I'm not like, definitely for the Parasite year, that was like weeks ahead of time.
Sure. Yeah,
so excited, and I'm definitely not feeling that right now, but
can I make one prediction for the ceremony? I have one very random. So, like, a couple years ago when Joaquin Phoenix won, I made a prediction that he would say gay rights in his award speech. And then
he said dead animal rights?
No. He did say something about gay rights.
I thought he said something about, like, the insemination.
He did, but he also mentioned something about LGBTQ people, I feel like, being allies, something. Well, so I was right there. So I have an out there prediction, and I will bet someone money on this. So I don't know who's going to say it. I think it's going to be maybe one of the hosts, most likely, will make a joke about West Side Story, about Benny and the Jets, and be like, is Elton John in this movie, Benny and the Jets, or something like that. I think that it's going to happen where someone is going to say, along the lines, it'll Benny and the Jets or Elton John.
Okay, that is a very specific one. I would say maybe if this was the Rocket Man year, I'm not sure.
No, I still think
that would be a lock, but I'm not sure.
I'm making the prediction because I think the jokes are going to be bad anyway, and so.
Is there a Benny in that movie? Or you just think like because of the Jets,
yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know if it was a double Benny and the Jets.
No, I don't think there's a Benny in that movie. I think it's just the Jets, and I think that if they're going to make
maybe
a joke,
they'll say, like, Tony and the Jets.
Yeah, but I think there's going to be something that has to do, correlates somehow with, you know what I mean?
Elton John's hit song, Benny and the Jets. Yeah,
it'll be clear that it's Elton John, Benny and the Jets. Like, the joke relates to the song.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Benny and the Jets. Okay. Sounds good. Well, tune in next week to see if that prediction came true. Anything until then?
No. I got nothing.
Well, until next time, I'm Benny.
And I'm the Jets.
And
we're your second
film critics.